How can you reduce the environmental impact of your household cleaning products? And do the eco-friendly ones actually stack up? ABC Science journalist Joanna Khan has been looking into this for us. Hi, Joanna.
Hello, Amanda.
Now, to start with, let's remind ourselves of what happens to household cleaning products. Where do they end up?
So whenever we use chemicals at home, at some point they're usually associated with water, whether that's in the shower or the washing machine or even in the kitchen sink. So they get washed down the drain. And most of that wastewater will then go to a wastewater treatment plant where some but not all of the chemicals and particles are removed. And anything that does get through those treatment processes can make it into the environment through our waterways.
So what sort of chemicals are we talking about in these cleaning products?
Well, of course, all sorts, good and bad. And when you start to look at labels on things, you realise it's just mind-boggling how many chemicals we're exposed to daily. But some of the more problematic ones are triclosan, which is an antibacterial compound. And it's used in products like hand wash and toothpaste, and it lasts in the environment for a long time. And it can also prevent the water treatment processes themselves from working. Then we have endocrine disrupting chemicals that have the potential to interfere with hormones, both in us and in wildlife, and they're found in many everyday products. And then, of course, there's microplastics like tiny plastic microbeads and also plasticizers, which are the chemicals that make plastics more malleable.
Okay, so, these things are maybe not necessarily problematic for the environment, or you've given us the ones that are, yeah?
Mm. Yeah. So some we know are a problem and some we don't, which is actually still a problem in itself, because often what happens with these chemicals that are in our products is that they aren't actually tested before they're put in, and the research on them really only gets started once we've already started using them. And that goes both for our health and the environment. And so, I mean, there's plastics and plasticizer chemicals, which we know get into the environment and can kill and harm organisms, particularly in aquatic environments when they come into contact with them. And also there's sort of filter feeding aquatic animals, like mussels, for instance, and they can accumulate particles in them, which can eventually then move back up the food chain and could even
end up eating them. Oh, right.
They could, yeah. Right. Okay. Come around full circle.
Yeah. Hey, now you mentioned that the endocrine disrupting chemicals they have the potential, I think you said, to interfere with hormones. How are they an environmental problem? I mean, that seems, what you're saying is, you know, a relationship to human health. I get that. But environmentally?
Yeah, so, I mean, even in terms of human health, we're still not totally sure what impact they do have. We actually know more about the impact they have on the environment. And so even though these chemicals do get diluted through the treatment process, they can still affect marine animals in particular. And so we know that they can influence the sex, reproductive behaviours, and even reproductive success of some aquatic animals, including marine snails, which have been seen to actually stop breeding and die out as a result. And they can also affect fish, the reproductive organs of fish, and compromise the immune and reproductive function in some mammals. And so, I mean, all of these changes lead to changes in the populations of the animals themselves, which, of course, has knock-on effects for the entire ecosystem that they're in.
Okay, so the thing is, I suppose, all those sorts of chemicals you've mentioned actually needed in our household cleaning products?
Well, in a lot of cases, no. So we've really come to expect things in our cleaning products and our personal care products that aren't actually completely necessary to the function of that product. So a couple of examples of that is if we take like a body wash example that you might use in the shower, people expect suds and bubbles and lather and also fragrance as well. But a lot of the chemicals that give you those things are added in. They're not sort of naturally there. And particularly with something like fragrances, products don't actually have to disclose what chemicals are in fragrances, and it could be quite a complex cocktail of chemicals in those. And then there's also things like antimicrobials, you know, your hand sanitizer that you use when you leave the bathroom, that kind of thing. And, I mean, experts say that plain old soap and water is just as good for washing your hands. You don't need that extra antimicrobial chemical in that.
Yeah, and plain old soap and water is better for the environment.
Yeah.
All right, now, part of the burning question from Anita is, are the products that are labelled as eco-friendly truly better for the environment? Are they?
Well, In some cases, yes, particularly if they're claiming to avoid a whole group of chemicals, for instance, paraben-free or phosphate-free, something like that. But you do have to watch out if they're claiming to exclude one particular chemical. A common one that you'll see is BPA-free. And what that can mean is that actually there's a different chemical that's been replaced, that's replaced BPA, which can actually have similar effects on health and the environment. And another thing to think about is that often when they put this labelling on their packaging, it can mean that they have sort of sustainability policies in place at a corporate level, but they might not actually reflect the sustainability of the chemicals and products themselves.
Oh, right. So what, they might be, you know, recycling paper in the office,
yep,
but they haven't actually changed the formula in a cleaning product to be environmentally better.
Yeah, that's right. So they could be taking actions to do with energy and waste, you know, in their offices at a bigger scale.
Yeah, okay, not as frivolous perhaps or low level as the one I mentioned. Interesting. So, but, you know, where do you reckon the responsibility lies for sustainable household cleaning products? Is it with me as a consumer or is it with the manufacturers?
Well, in Australia, the burden really is with the consumer, and that's not really fair. Many people think that's not fair. One researcher I spoke to actually said that often the responsibility for thinking about all of these things does fall on women and mothers in particular. And it can also, another said that it can also bring up feelings of guilt about sort of not knowing or not knowing what to buy and what's going, what's in the products you're buying. But researchers in this area are really hoping that regulations might be able to put in place that can shift that burden of proof back onto the manufacturers to disclose the ingredients in their products and help the consumer.
All right. So to get to the nub of Anita's burning question, what can you do to reduce the environmental impact of cleaning products? Maybe, you know, I'm thinking both on a daily basis, but, you know, longer term change too, I suppose.
So there are some obvious, albeit frustrating, answers here. One thing you can do is
I suspected as much.
Yeah, so you can try and learn about what is in the products. And so that means researching what's in the brands that you buy, looking at the back of the packet, the ingredients on the label. But that is time consuming and it's also confusing. And there are online resources that can help you with that. But another option is making your own products. And so...
Oh, yeah?
Well. So something that's also a result of the chemicals in our products now is that people think that it's really complex because there's these huge lists of ingredients. But in actual fact, it can be really simple ingredients into, you know, like vinegar and bicarb soda.
Yes, I've got a book about all that. Yeah.
But of course, it does take time to learn how to do those things.
Yeah,
as well.
You're right, though. It's not actually a big deal. And what about things like you mentioned, you know, using a bar of soap rather than the pump wash thing that's got fragrance and antimicrobials in it, that sort of thing, yeah?
Yeah, so you can get bars of soap and also shampoo, it turns out, which I didn't realise.
I've seen something on Facebook about that you can get shampoo bars that are much better because, well, they don't have packaging and they're supposed to be environmentally better. Got to investigate that.
Okay. Me too.
Thank you. All right. So, look, there are just some little things you can do, changes you can make, depending on your time and inclination for this. Many thanks to Anita for raising all this about the environmental impact of household cleaning products. And thanks to Joanna Khan, our ABC science journalist, for looking into this for us. Good on you, Joanna.
Thanks, Amanda.
And Joanna has written or is in the process of writing an article on this for ABC Online that'll be up in a few days' time. And if you've been pondering something relating to sustainable living or health, you can email us. We have a dedicated email address for the burning question, and the address is burningquestion@abc.net.au. This is Life Matters.